Good morning, church.
Morning.
Welcome to the Vines on this very beautiful but very cold morning. We hope this all warms you up, and to those online sitting in their nice, roasty, warm homes, welcome to you also. Let me start by reading one of the Psalms. Psalm 130, one of the songs, maybe written by David, maybe somebody else, but one of the songs the Jewish people used to use. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. It's an interesting line, isn't it? With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, and also us, the vines, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel and all his people from all their sins. Praise be to God. Let's stand. Let's worship this incredible God.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Christ has lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from
Lord, this morning we come here before you because you have called each and every one of us. You want to meet with us. You call us to tell us how much you love us. And Lord, we respond because we want to let you know that you are our God. Thank you for the freedom to do this. Lord, thank you for the privilege of this. And we know we don't deserve it. We know we're not perfect. Lord, we confess that we have missed opportunities of sharing your love, that we have spoken far too quickly and sharply when we should have stopped and thought. Lord, we have fallen back into those habits that we are struggling to leave behind. Many things, Lord, that must disappoint you. And yet we know you sent your Son, that in believing in him, our slate is wiped clean. We are made purer than snow. Lord, what grace, what love. We thank you and ask that you help us to pass on that forgiveness and that love to others, that they may know you. You are a holy, holy Lord. We thank you and we know there is nothing, no one like you.
If the kids want to come down the front, people. I was actually really tempted to have church in the middle foyer where that heater was going. That would have been sensational. Come down the front, you guys. I've got some questions. Today we're talking about forgiveness. And when things go wrong, sometimes we want to hold on, remember things. I'm going to tell you a story about Stella. Stella, she was probably a bit older than you. And she loved playing sport. She wanted to play some football. And she was playing footy. Come down, come down, come on, come on. Alex, come on. Oh, I've scared you off. No, yes. Anyway, so this is my Dave's dodgy drawing. Okay, so this is her hair. Lovely, bluffing hair. Okay. All right, so she's playing football, and what happens is she breaks her arm because Alexandrina pushed her, and she fell over and went, oh. So she had this big plaster on her arm, and on that plaster she went angry. And about 6 weeks later, they said, why don't you take the plaster off? She goes, no, I'm going to remember forever getting pushed over and breaking my arm. So she thought, well, I can't play football, so I'll do some skateboarding. How do you think that went? Bad. Okay. She broke her leg because Tony cut her off and she fell off and broke her leg. So what do you think she put on that leg? Well, 6 weeks later, they said, you can take your plaster off. And she said, no, I'm going to leave it on there because it's going to remind me. Because I'm angry. Mad. I like that one. Yes, mad. That's good. All right. So let's see. She can't do skateboarding. She can't do... So she said, I'm going to be a soccer goalie. What could possibly go wrong? She'll get hurt again. This time, the ball came along and hit her in the head. And so she had this big bandage. You can't put a plaster on your head, can you? So what do you think she put up on there? 6 weeks later, they said, you can take the plaster off now. And she said, no. Sad. Did you say sad? All right, I like that. Well, good idea. So sad, angry, and mad. How many more limbs got to put plaster on? Too many, yes. All right. So sometimes that's what happens. Like when we don't forgive stuff, it's like we've got plaster on our... What do you think about that? So how do we get rid of these things that make us sad, angry, and mad? Maybe we don't play sport. I think I like that. That's a very good... Maybe I'll just stop here. Well, how do we stop those things that make us sad, angry, and mad? That's a good question. So what we could do is... That's all right. He's making himself feel at home. I'm happy with that. So as Christians, what we do is... What are some things we do as Christians to try and help us get rid of when we're angry, sad, and mad? Any ideas? We pray to God. Yeah, what do you think, Sam? Any ideas on that one? What sort of things do we pray? Do we say, punish them and strike them down so that they... No, no. What do we say? What can we say? What do we say? Help us forgive, get over. Let me help you out. This is a big, complex thing. So today, what we're doing is we are trying to pray. So pray, God, help us forgive and love. And that's a really hard thing. So that's what we're trying to do today. And it's a really challenging thing. Thank you for your work. Let's say some prayers. And you guys have got some special colouring in you can do today. So I want to see some drawings from you later, young man. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Thank you for love. And we know that sometimes sins can be really hard and difficult. We ask that we can help forgive and help us understand more about that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, next week, we've got Sunday school. And if you've got some grandies who you're not sure what to do with, we're going to have a shared lunch next Sunday. And so you can come to the Sunday school, bring your friends, and we'll have a shared lunch afterwards. So that's, you're welcome to do that too. Hey, mate. Okay, kids, go and find some. I think got some nice colouring in boards there. Woohoo! Just talk amongst yourself while I get organised. I'll just do some quick notices while the band comes up. We have a new property convener. Nev, put your hand up. So Neville has been our new... So people actually do read the grapevine. That's really sensational. I was worried about that. Today we have Kirsten's top seven faith things. Let me read them out to you. Number one, being loved by God frees us from shame about ourselves, opening all we are to be used by Him. Number two, God is always working. Every experience is an opportunity to grow Christ-like character. Number three, take time to receive good from God and others, to refill often. We give out what we have in us. Four, be part of the scaffold for others. Love, encourage, and affirm people. Help them reach higher and stand stronger in God. Five, when it looks rotten, God's plan ultimately is love's best choice. Though it might hurt incredibly, it's able to build stuff in us for other people and the situations we connect into. Number six, prayer is honest, necessary, and powerful, aka the Psalms. Number seven, regularly check in with God and yourself if necessary. Rebalance the areas of your life. Again, these things are great captions, and we could create a whole series out of them. So we've got a few more weeks lined up. So if you haven't got round to your top five or top seven, put them down. Send me an email. We'll put them in for later reflection. So thank you. And if you jump on the web page for the Vines, you'll notice we're making a few adjustments, trying to get some themes and a few series lined up as well. So I hope you're well. I hope you've had a good week. And enough from me, and over to you.
You can stand for this. I think I was going to get you to stand at the end, but no, let's stand. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you for everything that you have given each one of us. We thank you for the safety of this country, the freedom to worship you. We thank you for all that we personally have, for opportunities, for finances, for relationships. All this, Lord, you have put us in a position and provided for us. We bring you this morning that which we are returning to you for the use in your kingdom. And we offer also ourselves and our other resources. We ask you to bless this money and these food offerings that you may use them to the glory of your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Will you please share with me in prayer? God of glory and God of grace, whose majesty adorns the heavens and whose mercy fills the earth, who needs nothing we can give, but yet gives us everything we need, who silences the shouts of the proud and amplifies the whispers of the humble. We come before you in awe and gratitude. We long for the touch of your hand in our lives. Each of us in our own way reaches out to you. Some of us at this very time have deep concerns for our health or heavy situations we are having to cope with. Others of us are troubled by the needs of loved ones near to us, and we don't have solutions. Yet here, as we bow in prayer with our Christian friends, we take comfort that you hear us, even our murmurings, as we share with you. Lord God, how we wish that we might have the ability to bring sense in our troubled world. Our faith brings shudders as we see sights of warfare, and despite the distance, feel the agony expressed. O God, we pray for peace in your world, especially in the Ukraine. Our prayers are for so many poor who struggle to find food and for sustenance, and whose tears fall for their children, often in need of simple medical care. And this so often contrasted with those who have superabundance. O God, we pray for justice and compassion. Whilst we are grateful that we live in the lucky country, help us to press our governments to have generous hearts and a wisdom that makes good and caring decisions in our complex society and even smaller world. We pray for so many on whom we depend, for medical staff, for teachers, for chaplains, for clergy, for law enforcement officers, for the judiciary, for shop assistants and council workers, and so many others. Indeed, in our society, that we may share our lives for the good of others and a more caring world. So we bring our prayers, dear God, with our hearts open to your Spirit of grace. We continue to bring the names of the needy, our friends, our needs. And we come in deep thanksgiving that you hear us and reach out to us in these days that you give us. May we find the deep peace of our Lord Jesus and your mercy into and from our hearts, that we shall not grow weary of doing good things in your beautiful world. And now we share together in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I have a helper this morning. Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from Colossians, book 1, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 and 9 to 14. Paul thanks God for the Colossians. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
The God who has rescued us from darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his redemption and forgiveness. A wonderful verse.
You can remain seated if you wish.
Rescued me and picked me up, a living hope of grace revealed, a life transformed in righteousness. Oh Lord, you have rescued me, forgiving me. You healed my heart and set me sin and death. You brought me life. You've made me whole. Oh Lord, you have rescued me. And you loved me before I knew you. And you knew me for all time. I've been sold me, your blood poured out for me.
I was watching little Alex walk past, look at the singers with the microphone, look on the ground at the microphone, look at the singers, look at the microphone. I was just waiting for him to pick it up and start doing something with it. One of the things I didn't mention was the market day, which is also in your grapevine. And the market day is, as it's said here, is not the strawberry fair. But it's an opportunity to once again invite people to our property to show we still care. So for a team that have been pretty committed to make that happen, if you want to talk to Marge, Jenny or Leon about your involvement or participation, that'd be great. So I was thinking, forgiveness, our theme today, it's really hard to have too many jokes. I like to tell a bit of a funny story or joke, but it's really hard, isn't it? Forgiveness is one of those really emotional topics, and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit go together really closely, because the Holy Spirit is really the presence of God working in our lives and others. And forgiveness, sometimes we really need some help with, don't we? Because it is really a complex thing. Now, when I mention forgiveness, what do people think about? And maybe turn to the person next to you. What, like someone said, what is forgiveness? What would you say? Just turn to the person next to you. How would you describe forgiveness? What is it? Is it a miracle? Is it something you have to do begrudgingly because if you don't, I don't know. Just turn to the person. What do you think? What is forgiveness? How do you explain it? Maybe I'll ask the question at the end of my sermon. And we might be a bit clearer. So again, imagine if you're trying to talk to a young child, a bit like I was trying to do with the children's talk. Forgiveness. How do you describe forgiveness? Why is it important? Do you do it once and that's it? Does everybody? Yes, I see that hand back there. Picking up the pieces. All right, I like that. That's a good image. I should have put that in there too. So forgiveness sometimes is picking up the pieces. And when we look at a lot of the movies that are coming out of Hollywood still, like I remember preaching on forgiveness last century and referring to the Hollywood movies. And, there seems to be so much revenge and vengeance as part of the plot of a movie. And I guess sometimes we understand that vengeance and wrath maybe feels good in the sense that, we get some outlet for our hurt, frustration and anger. But, what does that actually generate? So forgiveness. The next slide we have really picks up the quotation. Forgiveness is at the heart of the message of the Christian faith. And this last verse, Jesus has rescued us from the power of the darkness. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, our faith as Christians has at its central plank forgiveness. It is that thing, that experience that we receive from God, that Jesus, through his death on the cross, has somehow made possible. Now, it's not really like a scientific equation, but somehow in that moment, God's love knew no limits, that not even his Son was saved from the distance, the sin, those things that separate us from God. It was through the action of Jesus on the cross, somehow broke down those barriers, and that when we open our lives to, we are reconnected with. It's an awkward, confronting, difficult topic sometimes. Forgiveness, sometimes we if we're talking to kids, we tend to apply the tyranny of the should. You should forgive. But we know it's not like that, is it? Someone tells you to forgive, doesn't happen. there's a real process that has to go on, I think. A real connecting with our feelings, emotions. And that's what makes it so difficult. So forgiveness opens up a whole can of worms. It's some big questions. You know, what do we do with those that have hurt us? What happens when we've hurt others? How do we forgive ourselves? It's really a complex, multifaceted, and yet such a pivotal thing. The next slide I have means that sometimes the propensity to forgive feels like a weight. It just grinds us down. Is forgiveness something we should do? And what happens if we don't forgive? What happens if we don't forgive? And look, you know, I think one of the tragic things about the Ukraine war is I saw probably about a month ago, after World War II, the Ukrainians and the Russians had fought so strongly together, and they built these two statues of the Ukrainians and the Russians, brothers in arms. And a month ago, I saw these guys cutting them down, these big metals. You know, that brokenness that it came as a result of the current conflict. You know, what does forgiveness look like for those two countries? Oh, I don't know. It's just it's a massive thing, isn't it? How do you even get your brain around trying to explain it? And how can we say to the Ukrainians, you must forgive? That is part of their journey, isn't it? And it's such a tragic thing. The next quote I have up here is one that I really like. There's nothing quite like forgiveness for the inner transformation, which is why all spiritual teachers insist upon it. Because in the giving, both in the giving and the receiving. So it is a profound thing. Not only are we invited to give it to others, but also receive it from others. It's just a fascinating thing. It's a powerful thing. And Alex, you're doing a great job, buddy. You're making this a really good little experience for all of us. It's nice having children. It's always better. I like Alex enjoying his space rather than screaming and yelling. That's really good. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? So how do we connect? How do we put aside our hurt and our despair? How do we set aside this experience? Should we forgive? When our family was a number of years ago, probably 20 years ago, we were driving in Victoria and we had the radio station on in the car. And occasionally DJs come up with this great idea. What they're going to do is they're going to get people to ring in and they will make out, they're going to be the intermediate and try and link people together. So this radio station, the idea was, if you have a problem, you haven't seen someone for decades, you ring into the radio station, then they ring this other person, and it all happens on live radio, and they have a reconnection, and there's tears and laughter, and it's a wonderful thing. So anyway, this man rings in and says, look, when I was a young teenager, my younger brother and I got into a fight, and it got out of hand, and I knocked him out. And after that, my brother has never spoken to me again. And he's a man in his 30s. And so the DJ says, all right. So he gets the phone number for this younger brother, rings him up and says, hey, how are you? This is Tony from 57764 Melbourne. Good to talk to you. Hey, look, just wanted to know, you know, I've got your brother on the phone and he really wants to talk to you. And you could hear this just chilling silence. And the younger brother says, I haven't got a brother, and hangs up. And so this is on live national radio. And I've never forgotten that. It was just so sad. 12 years after this stupid event that they were involved in, nothing had been changed. And it was like the older brother just, you could hear his heart breaking for his stupid action. And you just, the young brother just like, wow. And so it's, you have that at sort of one extreme, and then you have the other extreme where on the next slide, I'm not sure if you saw this special with this amazing family, and where this Western Sydney couple, Danny and Leela, shared with the 2022 World Meeting of Families in Rome on Saturday with the Pope and stuff, about what had happened to their three children and their niece who were killed by a drunk driver, Samuel William Davison. And so this family, they've got a new baby now, but flanked together, they were really talking about forgiveness. And it struck me so powerfully because it's like, how do you do this? And the father said, there's been more than 2 years, and every day I must choose to forgive myself and the driver so I don't retreat into hatred, Mr. Abdallah said. And there was millions of people watching online. He says, I choose to forgive myself for telling my kids to go for a walk. I choose to forgive the offender in obedience to my Father in heaven. What struck me powerfully about that was his choice to forgive. Every day. Just overwhelming. And how would you come to deal with it? And what's really amazing is the family have actually, on the next slide, come up with this platform, I Forgive Day. And the family has actually generated this charity where they go about trying to reinforce the need for forgiveness. And Mrs. Abdallah received an overwhelming round of applause after she revealed she didn't hate the driver and had forgiven him. She says, as Christians, we're meant to forgive. I believe the Holy Spirit has moved my lips to forgive. So there's that God's presence somehow connecting in. You can't control what happens in life, she said, but you can choose how you respond. We choose forgiveness over hatred. We choose love over revenge. We choose to turn the day of tragedy into a day of forgiveness. Now, I guess it's very easy to sort of think forgiveness is something that happens outside of our community. But we know all of us have had a journey. And I was talking to Jackie Vanstone about a month ago, and we got onto the topic of forgiveness. And she started sharing some story, and I thought, you know what, that would be a lovely thing. Lovely, maybe is not the word. A powerful thing for us to hear and share in part of that journey. So I sent her some questions, and she very graciously accepted my request to come and share some of her story about forgiveness. So come on, Jackie. Come and share with us, some of you, share with the three of us. Look, it's no doubt we've already stirred a few different emotions and thoughts just as we've talked about different stuff already. I asked you some questions and I said, well, look, how would you describe forgiveness?
Okay. I made myself some notes, so forgive me. I can really talk normally, but this is a bit emotional. So if I have to read from my notes, so be it. I think for me, forgiveness is the main reason that my faith is where it is today. It was the start of me becoming a Christian. Other than school lessons and in religious instruction, I was forbidden to go to church by my father. So that was a difficult time.
So forbidden. So even as a younger person, if you wanted to go to church, and normally people are trying to do the other thing, aren't they? They're trying to get you to church, but you were forbidden. So where did this sense of, how did it play out after that? So what was the next part of the understanding of where forgiveness came from? I mean, like being told not to go to church, no, you can't. How did that turn around, or what impact did that have?
Yeah, of course, because when I was younger, you certainly didn't want to go against this man. I had a father who was mentally abusive. He was mentally abusive to my mother and my sister and myself. Never physical, but just all those nasty things that we were stopped from doing in a nasty way. So I suffered, I sort of struggled with that for a long, long time. And forgiveness then came for me in the form of an amazing experience. And this is the bit that I have to read to you. So back in 2000 or so, I was looking for something to help me to deal with events that were In my life at the time, surrounding my father, he'd been making my life very difficult, very stressful. And two dear friends suggested I go with them to the Seeds Church, which I did. And for some time, I needed to try and find a way forward. I was angry. Certainly was angry with Dad. I didn't like the person I was becoming because of that anger that I had for him. My family didn't like to see me like this. Friends commented on changing my demeanour. So I continued to attend Seeds Church. Nothing was helping or changing until one particular Sunday, whilst praying quietly, just asking God for help, and I experienced a surge of warmth from my head to my toes, still a feeling that I can't even really describe to you exactly what it was like. It was just so special. So the good Lord told me to forgive my father, and I sat quietly. I wondered, was it okay to forgive, even though I didn't love or respect this man? Could I say I forgive you, even though what I'd been through? I didn't know how to do it, the way, because he treated my mother and the family so badly. But the answer was clear. Forgiveness was allowing me to start my journey to heal. It was powerful to me. I said aloud, "I forgive you, Dad," which really for me was day one of my true faith journey. Yeah, it really started that day. Difficult, but yeah. And, special.
Yeah, it was interesting that you noticed there was a real, your anger and unforgiveness was actually restricting and shrinking your world and making you angry and impacting all those around you.
It was bad, bad time.
Bad time. And yet somehow this connection with God and this prayer really transformed you to the point where you're able to actually say, "I'll forgive you, Dad."
It was amazing, just amazing.
Profound. And I guess it's like maybe losing a plaster or weights or whatever it might have been, just to help you move again freely in a way that...
I lost lots, yes.
So it's that applying the faith, isn't it? So
it is.
How would you like to close for us today? What sort of summary would you like to share with us as you reflect on that?
I think life is a challenge. We all have our ups and downs. But I've realised I can cope much better with the discovery of my faith, and I certainly don't have to face these challenges alone. And I suppose really, to sum that all up, I don't normally shake this much.
That's all right.
To sum up, I think forgiveness was my saviour, can be yours, can be anybody's. Once the Lord, he showed me, and he showed me how, and I just thank the Lord for that so much.
I was thinking, well, how do we close with this service today? And it's interesting, isn't it? Like, when we think about Jesus, I'm taken back to when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And I think sometimes in our lives, people hurt us because they don't understand how much God loves us, but they don't understand how God loves them. So there's this real disconnect, isn't there? There's, because if people really, truly loved us and loved themselves, then they wouldn't inflict the sort of rubbish that they do on us, or we would on others. And so one of the things I did when I was just starting my first year at theological college was I wrote a list of all the people who I was struggling to forgive. And at each person's name, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And it was almost like a freedom that as I processed through helped alleviate that. Now, I'm not sure, maybe there's other ways you might do letting go of stuff. Maybe it's something you've done, maybe it's something someone else has done. But it's that intentional praying, connecting, and letting go is where the power comes. So today I invite you, we'll just spend a little time in prayer. I'll share a prayer, and at the end of the service, if you'd like some prayer, you can come forward too. But we'll have a song as well. As again, we're just trying to free ourselves, because Christ came so we might be fully free and live abundant life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came into our world to make a difference. Lord, we think of the different stories we've heard this morning, and for the way in which forgiveness has been transforming. We ask that your Holy Spirit may flow through us and enable us to experience your love and forgiveness again. In this time, we offer our lives to you. Speak to us, encourage us, set us free. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love. And as you fill us, help us let go of that stuff that we need to let go of. In Jesus' name, amen.
We conclude our service offering ourselves in the light of what David has said as we go out into the world, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others and reflecting that forgiveness of Christ. Let's stand. Let's conclude.
Stand fast in my Lord and King.
So if our topic or theme of this week has stirred you, then please give me a ring during the week. Happy to catch up, have a chat on the phone. If you're online, please leave a message, catch up with me, ring, whatever. Happy to catch up. So as we go from this place, hopefully we continue to feel freer and live life more abundantly, because God seriously loves you with no exception. And thank you. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.